This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK present a live 24-hour radio show.
24 hours.
Gold Line's gonna tell me where the light is. Gold Line's gonna tell me where the light is. Take our hands out of control. Take our hands out of control. Now tell me what you saw. Tell me what you saw. There was
and welcome back to FUBAR Radio. I'm Rachel Downey. This is our 24-hour live marathon, all in aid of the He For She campaign, working with UN Women UK, all to do with Arts Week. Please do get involved by donating. Very much like the donation, obviously not for me. All money donated is going towards changing the reality for women and girls globally. If you can text UNWN, I don't know why I'm struggling now when I read that, UNWN15, followed by the amount you want to donate to 770. We've got another guest in the studio alongside Michaela Stark. We've got James Grundy, co-founder of Small Beer Brew. Round of applause. Welcome,
Rachel, good morning. James. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. Thank
it's
you for coming in.
To be here.
Since we arrived about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, there was a box, Small Beer Brew.
Yes.
And we were very excited. We're like, oh my God, what is Small Beer Brew? And everyone has been drinking it and loving it.
Amazing.
So first of all, tell us about Small Beer Brew.
Great. Yes, I'd love to. So my business partner, Felix, and I set up the world's first small beer brewery. Mm. So small beer historically was always brewed between 0.5 and 2.8% ABV, alcohol by volume. And it is the perfect. I'm actually seeing a beer sat on the
Michaela is loving
next
it.
To me.
Any excuse.
It is the perfect, possibly breakfast. Not a 7 a.m. beer, but maybe it's the perfect breakfast beer.
We don't know what well we're in right now.
It is that any occasion beer. It's that beer that you might want to enjoy at lunchtime because that's a 1% dark lager there. There's nothing quite like that. As we know it in the world, and we also produce a 2.1% lager. It's for when you want to have all the enjoyment of a great tasting beer, you just don't want the slowdown after
it.
So we started in November. Felix and I have been in the drinks industry for far longer than that, but he'd been one of the lead brewers at Fuller's, and I'd been working at Sipsmith Gin. But we would scan the pump clips for a beer that allowed us to have great, great taste.
Yeah.
But if we were having a lunchtime social, didn't leave us with an unproductive afternoon.
Yeah.
And there was nothing. There was nothing unless you compromised on flavor or you had really high alcohol. So the small beer brewery was born.
How long, you know, did it take you to go from talking about this idea to saying, do you know what, let's do it. Let's start creating this. How long was that process? And was it quite scary to go out there and do it for yourselves?
Very much so. I mean, we'd been really fortunate. We'd seen the success of a gin brand like Sipsmith, and I'd been working on that for 8 years.
Oh, wow.
And, but I mean, we'd been incubating the idea for about 18 months, and then we really started going for it in November 2016, brewing together. Mm. And then we launched a year later. But taking that leap, taking that first step, particularly into an entirely new category. People know craft beer. People don't know 1% or 2% beer.
It's a tough industry. It's an established industry to crack, as it were. But when was that moment, that catalyst where you thought, let's just do this? You're still smiling like, Rachel, get out of the breakdown.
Yeah, Rachel, this is a facade. I'm crying. But it's, it has been amazing. I think what really, the trade in the industry itself is hugely supportive, and it's open to innovation, and it's open to these pioneering ideas. Mm. And as are the consumers, provenance, story, history, quality now is so important to people. And we're seeing a real shift. And it's not from a consumer's perspective about necessarily material gain, but it's about quality of experience when they go out. A lot of people are saying they're drinking less, but they're drinking better quality. Mm-hmm. And
that's very true, actually.
That's
sort
of where we sit. Yeah. So we want you to have all that enjoyment, but still be able to get up and have a 7 a.m. radio interview the following morning.
Exactly, exactly, without feeling a little bit, you know, fluffy exactly. in the head. Well, it's all true, it's all true.
And also, because big companies have been, you know, put under a lot of scrutiny recently for having these PFLs, they call proper fucking lunches, where they're going out, you know, you've got a responsibility and a very important job and you're going out for lunch and getting absolutely rat-arsed.
Yeah.
And obviously, big companies have come under scrutiny with this recently. So actually, something like the small beer company is exactly what we need for the business lunch.
We think so. We think so. You know, it is. It's that, I think one of our big challenges is we've got to share the occasion for that. And actually, maybe it is that business lunch. Maybe it's that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday when you're up early the following day. Maybe it's that Sunday lunch with the family. Or I think there are many, many. One great venue that does a phenomenal job is the National Theatre, because people love having a beer before the show.
That's very true.
They just don't want to fall asleep during the show.
Yes, yes. That's a very, very good point. Starting up your own business, what would you say has been the most difficult obstacle you've come across?
It is a challenge a second, but we have got a brilliant team. We're only a small team. We're a team of five. I should shout them out, actually. So we have Chloe, Phoebe, Jamie, and then Felix and myself.
Yep.
And it's the problem solving, but we do that together, and that's great. That's part of the great joy of a small business, is that everyone's involved. Everyone has their say in terms of the direction of the company, but it means we can problem solve together. Yeah. And I think, albeit sometimes it does feel
a little bit stressful.
You definitely end up coming out of the back of it as an even tighter team and as a stronger business. So, But no, it's a really interesting point that you make about the kind of bigger businesses, mm. and it always sometimes feels a little like that David and Goliath scenario. But that's part of the great excitement around
buzz. I bet,
definitely.
Yeah. That kind of
definitely.
Fearlessness to make that leap, and again, very important to have the right team behind you. And
absolutely.
Supporting you. How, you know, you and Felix, mm-hmm. How did you know you two were the right people to start a business together? Were you close friends, or is it better to not be close friends with a business partner? Like, what happened?
Yeah, good question. So we were very much friends. We met.
We were. We're not now, right? Shh. Strictly business.
He and I met at Sipsmith, but he'd been working at Fuller's before that at AB InBev, so one of the big guys. Mm. And prior to that, he'd been building breweries. I mean, amazing, amazing guy. His skill and talent and knowledge is so, so exciting.
Yeah.
And then I'd been leading the sales for Sipsmith. So I kind of brought the sales and marketing thing,
yep.
and then he bought this production and logistics and operational side of things, and it was this really brilliant fusion, and so it's worked well. I mean,
yeah.
God, thank God we're both not in sales and marketing, because otherwise that would have worked. It is wonderfully grounding.
Yes,
when
yes.
I'm yeah. off, running around and trying to fly the flag and spread the good word.
And where would you like to see the company grow to? What's, say, the next 5 years, 10 years? What are your aspirations with it?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we'd love to start this as an entirely new category. But one of our big things is sustainability, and Phoebe is heading up our CSR, our corporate social responsibility. And we said that this was going to be a really key thread that ran through the business from day one.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, we do small things, our labels are 100% recycled, to our business cards, to our boxes, mm-hmm. but in production, in drinks particularly, there's a huge amount of wastage. Like, for example, to make a pint of beer, it typically takes between 8 and 10 pints of water to make a single pint. Now, we've managed to get that down to a pint and a half, and we're really proud of that. And it's just a little thing that we are trying to do to position ourselves as a real voice in the industry for responsible business production and beer production. But that goes right across. And I think we're starting to see it. We've seen this kind of campaign around plastic straws.
Yep.
We're starting to see it a little
change.
Bit more. Definitely. Mm. In within festivals, like single-use plastics, with all those pint glasses of plastic
yeah.
that just end up on the floor. And
yeah.
you know, you see people...
so frustrating.
Which is a complete nightmare. So we really want to lead a movement in that space as well, which has been fascinating.
I think that's the way, isn't it? It's leading the movement. Make something very worthwhile and make the change. Let's talk about the women
yes.
in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, how do women get involved in the industry? And are there a lot of women in the beer-making industry?
It's fascinating. So Fuller's.
Yeah.
I was family-owned... amazing London brewery from 1845.
Wow.
Have just appointed their first female head brewer. Really inspirational lady, but I mean, amazing that this is the first time this happened, which is staggering because it was always the women that were brewing beer. And I'm talking tens of thousands of years. And back to 500-600 years ago, and they had the title of the Brewsters. And they would make beer in the homes. And typically small beer or a low alcohol beer, because it was the water substitute, because the water quality was so poor, people would drink small beer. It was given to the school children right through to high society.
No.
So that was always the kind of historical provenance to small beer.
That's incredible.
But Georgina Young has recently been appointed late 2017 as the head brewer of Fuller's. Amazing position. It's such a historic business.
Mm.
But fantastic to see that innovation that Fuller's now driving forward, being led by Georgina. But then you look at people like Wildcard, a small craft brewery based in Walthamstow. Head brewer, amazing lady called Jaeger Wise. And she was a chemical engineer before she moved into craft beer production.
She sounds fantastic already.
She is brilliant. She's
yeah.
a singer. She's in a band. She does phenomenal live performances. But she's also this really, really inspirational speaker and makes fantastic beer. So
wow.
Definitely one worth checking
wow.
out. But then you look to the likes of Melissa Cole, probably the most prolific beer writer A lady who takes no prisoners.
Yeah.
But an incredible lady and a real sort of icon figure in the beer world.
So are you seeing a change? Are you seeing more women come into the beer making industry, say compared to when you first started?
Beer making industry, and in fact the hospitality industry as a whole, which was, it didn't feel like that long ago when you go into a bar, restaurant, hotel, bar, and the bar manager would always be a man. We have, you know, I could think of some of the most iconic venues now in London.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely, you know, they're led by really inspirational women in the drinks industry. And I mean, it's argued that they have some of the best palates in the drinks industry as well.
Oh, so. We can vouch for that. I mean, my palate is quite, I'm quite a connoisseur with all alcohol.
We do enjoy going out and testing, don't we?
We do.
It's important to know.
Yeah, purely for the greater cause. Yeah. This show's obviously for the He for She campaign. Men and women working side by side. How important do you think the conversation is? Just us sitting here, us having a show and talking about that, talking about how, you know, to have men and women working side by side, that's how you create the change. How important is the conversation alone?
No, absolutely. I think, you know, and I think we're looking at businesses now and we're seeing a far more even split when it comes to hiring. And certainly the roles that, I mean, if I just think about the three ladies in our business, you know, they're heading up three really important parts of the business, and they're such an integral part of our day to day. I mean, Chloe, we call the boss, but she's sort of the rock of the business.
Yeah.
And Jamie looks after all of our. I mean, she's our sort of digital whiz. I mean, amazing. But very much a kind of guardian of the brand, and Phoebe's driving our sustainable and CSR side of the business forward. I mean, it's vital. Mm. So I think absolutely. I think we've got to continue to have that conversation. I think what some of the work I saw off the back of International Women's Day was amazing. I'd actually like to shout out to a lady called Georgie Bell, who's heads up the malt arm of Bacardi.
Wow.
And they did this most... If you ever get a chance, maybe get her in the studio. Ask her to do a whiskey tasting for you. She's the most brilliant
whiskey
taster.
Call her. I'm free. I've got hours. Call her.
She's the most brilliant whiskey taster you'll ever come across. And her tasting notes are fabulous. And she tours the globe, effectively talking about whiskey. But whiskey is... arguably still quite a stuffy space.
Yeah.
And you think, well, who's a whiskey taster going to look like? Who's going to have a beer? And he's going to be probably quite a middle class white male. And that's just this perception. But they're running this campaign called Our Whiskey. And it's all about women in whiskey and driving the category forward. But make sure it's not this Mad Men, you know, advertising 50s era where whiskey is just to be drunk by men and it's going to be get out of my desk drawer and, you know, and have a whiskey in the office. But and she is an amazing lady to sit and enjoy a whiskey with, but also to have her lead a tasting is quite something.
And, you know, we have been asking a lot of people about what your inspirational women are. You've named a lot of females already, but who would you say are your inspirational women? It's a big question.
It's a big question.
Such a big question.
I should have saved Georgie for that
you
question.
You should have done. That would have been such a high note to leave.
I mean, I would probably put a call out to all the ladies in the industry, and in fact, in hospitality as a whole, because... Working with your regular punter in hospitality, customer facing is tough.
Yeah.
Day in, day out, after a long shift, maybe you're just not in the mood for whatever they're about to bring to the table.
That's not in the mood.
And they, you know, and they always come forward with a smile on face and they make the hospitality industry such a great joy to work in. So I would put a call out to all those who work in the bars, restaurants and hotels of London and beyond.
And for females listening to this and thinking, I want to get involved, I want to be part of that industry, what's the first step? How do you get involved in the beer making industry?
Yeah, great. So I think don't be shy to reach out to the breweries, first and foremost.
Okay, yeah.
You know, get in contact. We've had a lot of people contact us directly, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
And I think don't necessarily wait until that job advert goes up online. If this is something that you want to do, you go for it. Go and get it. Contact us. There's always an email address on the website, or contact via social media. And that would be my first step. If you want to learn more, there are great places like Ubrew, where you can go in and learn under guidance how to brew beer, which is fascinating.
I mean, that sounds brilliant. That's a good party trick, isn't it? That's what can we all do? Well, I can brew beer. what can you do? I think you can do it. Boom, drop the mic. That would be my moment. That would. That's the only reason why I would do it. So again, don't be shy to approach people.
And you'd be on the front foot. That is absolutely what I would say, because from my side as a business owner, I love hearing people's stories and actually people reaching out directly to me. And I remember it's something that I did with Sipsmith back in the day. And I said, actually, I really believe in this and I want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And if you find yourself in those shoes, then I think absolutely do the same.
Yeah, I totally agree. I really, really do. And where can people find a small beer brewery?
So you'll find us in South Bermondsey. It's quite a famous Bermondsey beer mile that houses
it. Again, we got time. We can go, James.
We could go.
It's fine.
We're taking the show on the road.
Yeah, yes, we are. Come on. Got to get a beer.
And there's about 15 microbreweries along there. We're about a 10-15 minute walk from there. So we're just nestled in between the Old Kent Road and South Bermondsey Rail Station. It is a beautiful space. There's live music. We have a lot of local artists in the area. We do little art exhibitions as well, where we just kind of promote local artists. And there's always some good food on offer, and there's plenty of great beer. So, small beer, for that matter.
So many reasons to go. Beer, food, it goes on for a mile. Boom. Again, our work here is done. James Grundy from Small Beer Brewery, thank you so much for joining us today. Coming all the way out here at this time in the morning.
Thanks for having me, Rachel. It's been
thank
great.
You for the beer.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
I think Mick might finish them all, so I am very proud if you do. It would stop me from doing it, because who knows what will happen once I start on the beer. We are going to leave you for a couple of minutes. We've got Atomic by Blondie, so don't go anywhere. We'll see you in a few minutes' time. presents.
Alan McSwiggan.
We have the very lovely Rebecca Dakin calling in.
How's your gaydar?
Well, I thought the lovely Joe, who one of the boys here with me right now, I thought he might have been gay when I first met him, and he's not. He's 100% straight. So my gaydar is not 2020.
It's a little bit off. Kilter.
It's a little bit off.
Right. I could give you sort of flirting tips.
Yeah.
But
or we could move straight to the bedroom if you want to. Never thought I'd be saying that to a lady before, but here we are.
Every Wednesday. One and only Beyonce featuring Jay-Z, Crazy in Love. This is the UN Women UK 24-hour live marathon to support the He for She campaign, all in Arts Week, during Arts Week. My name is Rich Downey. I am your presenter for the entire live show. So if you're thinking, I don't care for her dulcet tones, well, you know what? You are staying with me, my dear, right through to the end. We're going to hold hands and embrace this moment and talk about it for years to come. If you would like to text us, because we want your money, we want your donations, all the money donated is going towards changing reality for women and girls globally. So all you need to do is text UNWN15, followed by the amount you would like to donate to 770. And if you're thinking, Rachel, I keep missing it. What do I text? What do I do? Well done for remembering my name. Again, I'm doffing my cap. LondonArtsWeek.org is the website you need to go to find out more. I'm currently joined by Michaela Stark.
Hello.
Mick, you turned up and came on air from 6 o'clock. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fabulous, darling. I'm with you.
Oh, my God. I'm clapping. That's an amazing answer. I'll pay you later. Are you enjoying the show so far?
I am. Thank you so much for having me on.
That's all right. My absolute pleasure. Thank you for being here. We were talking in the break then about the performing side of it. We both have been dancers. Do you miss being in the industry?
Oh, yes and no. Okay. Yes and no.
Why no? What don't you miss?
I have to say, I mean, I think if I were to go back into it now, it would be very different.
Yeah.
But I have spent many, many years correcting many habits from dancing, such mm-hmm. as eating habits,
yeah.
and actually only learning as I've grown up kind of what's a normal way to eat.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
That's one thing that I think if I were to go back into it, it'd be nice to have that, you know, new healthy stance on everything. What don't I? Well, again, it was, you know, kind of trying to get a role. And, you know, it's like, oh, you know, you just need to lose a bit of weight and then losing the weight and then going for another role. And it's like, oh, you lost too much weight. You know, you should have been a bit bigger for that role. And, oh, it was just, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down, all over the place. And, yeah, so that's what I don't miss. What I do miss is obviously the fabulous bits,
yeah.
which is
the performing
and yeah. doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Once it's in your blood, it's...
Yeah, yeah.
It's a hard industry, and this is what we've been talking a lot about, actually, within the creative industry for this show, is I think some people don't realise the amount of grafting, the amount of hustling, the amount of isolation that you go through. You know, it's... You go for a lot of time not working, a lot of time going through rejection. And performers aren't the most secure people. So to go through a lot of rejection is really, really hard.
Yeah.
We are not thick-skinned. We are emotional creatives. How, you know, for people wanting to go into the industry, how would you say to them to deal with that? How best to deal with that level of rejection? Because it is a lot, unless you're incredibly lucky, but that's very rare.
Do you know what? I think if you have the time and you get the opportunity, my biggest piece of advice is to write yourself. Do something, create something yourself.
Yes.
Put yourself on the other side. I wrote a sitcom and...
Yes, you did.
I did. It was a shocker, but it was my first. And, it was being on the other side, you know, casting actors and doing all the whole of the other side of it. It's empowering and it puts you in the other seat. And it so next time you go to an audition and next time you go to a casting, I don't know, you just chill out and you just kind of understand it more. That would probably be my biggest piece of advice. Yeah,
I think that's what it is. Create your own work. I was a presenter for years and I got to the point where I wanted longevity as a female in the industry. You do have, for a lot of females, your kind of lifespan. Once you begin to get a bit older, your work does dry up and it goes to younger females. That's a fact. So I was thinking, how do I get longevity? I need to become an expert. And that's when I thought about becoming an expert in sport. At the time, that must have been about, I'm going to say 10 years. It might have been a bit longer. I thought not as many females are in sport. And I knew a lot anyway about sport, but I made it my mission to learn absolutely everything. So every day I'd read the back of the papers for all the sport. I would get all the apps. And I'm still doing that now. It's a constant, you are constantly learning and evolving. And it was the best decision I made because, again, it people look at you differently when you're an expert.
Yeah.
They trust your word. And then the writing begins, the creating process begins. And it's about gaining that respect. And you know what? As a female in this industry, you do have to try twice as hard.
Mm.
And you know what? I'd like to think that will change. Maybe it will do one
But luckily, day. Rachel, I mean, you're a timeless woman, so...
Babe, I go from season to season to season. What can I say? I am a timeless woman. It's so funny because it's true. But it is about, yeah, creating your own work.
And absolutely. That's the real point at when you feel, you know, this is it. And
you're in control of it.
In control, yeah, absolutely.
Because it's an industry that does... control you a lot of the time.
Mm.
And you know, we had Callum in here earlier, and he was saying and Callum and Rowley, they were both saying, you know, we're YouTubers, as it were, because we found, I think, a gap in the market and we wanted to create our own work. But then let's go back to Made with Style. You saw a gap in the market.
Yeah.
And it's brave, isn't it, to go out there and create your own thing.
I suppose, but you don't feel it at the time. It's just for goodness sake, I still feel like I'm pretending. I feel like I'm, you know.
Oh, we all do.
I'm still an actor, babe. It's like, oh, yeah, so anyway, I'm pretending to have this business. And that's what I keep telling myself every day.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, it's just a game, isn't it? And then
we're all skipping.
And then some days you're like, oh, this shit is real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Funny, I thought, oh, this shit is real when I woke up on Friday morning and literally clutched my pearls. I was like, I got a 24-hour show to do. And I believe I even...
It's a game.
Yes. It's
just a game.
It's a game. but it is. And so, okay, so people that are, say, young females wanting to become a dancer, wanting to go into the dance industry, what advice would you give them? And where do they go? Where do they turn to?
Well, as you know, it takes a lot of discipline,
mm-hmm.
But it's a discipline which puts you in good stead for the rest of your life, I think. I encourage my niece to dance. She's 9 years old. I encourage her to dance a lot because I think the discipline that it takes and it puts you in good stead for many other things. And also just the way you hold yourself and confidence and having that discipline to put yourself through, you know, what it takes to get where you want to go, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, going to a I was very, very, very lucky to go to a performing arts school.
Yeah.
And it was very long hours. And that has prepared me for life, for running a business, still doing the occasional show.
Yeah.
And, being a very busy person. And I think you can gain a lot, even if that's not the industry you go into. But if that is the industry you want to go into, work hard.
Yeah, it is all down to working hard. It's down to grafting. It's like you say, the stamina when you're a dancer. Like I remember breaking my toe, but still having to go on point, and still having, you know, you still got to carry on. And it does teach you that if you wake up with a cold, you go to work.
Yes,
you know, you don't not work unless you're so ill. And I think that's what dancing, I think, teaches, has taught me. It's, you just do it. You find that strength somehow. Unless you're literally on your deathbed, you can still work. You turn up early.
Yeah.
You know, like you turned up early. It's installed, isn't it?
It's installed in you, yeah. I think it gives you very good business etiquette as well. I think good work etiquette and, it's a good industry to be in. And I think also, speaking about he for she, I think it's very important to know that within the industry it can seem that it's against you as a woman, but you have to be in it to change it, and it's changing, and it really is. And there are many women that have been in it and are changing it, and it's getting better, and just keep at it, keep doing it, and you know, it's changing and it will continue to change for the better.
Yeah, and it can only change, like you say, if you're in it, if you're doing it, if you're making those footprints.
Exactly.
We are going to have a little musical interlude. We've got Le Freak, Don't Go Anywhere. We're back in a few minutes.
One, two, three. Oh, freak out. fishy. Freak out.
UN Women UK present a live 24-hour radio show.
24 hours.
That is correct. 24 hours. My name is Rachel Downey. I am doing the entire live show. If I were any good at maths, I would be a mathematician. But I would be able to work out how many hours I'm in. I started at 5 p.m. We'll say it's 7:30. How many hours am I in? Anyone know? Anyone good at maths? We're going to work out. We're all like 1, 2, 3, 4. But this is the show.
I can tell you I'm 2 beers down.
I high five you, Michaela Stark. I am high fiving you. We are here to support the He for She campaign. 17 hours and 40 minutes. Abby, this is why you're paid the big bucks. Thank you, my darling. 17 hours. That's amazing. To support. Yes, we are here to support the He For She campaign for UN Women UK. I really want to raise awareness. I want to talk about gender equality and raise money. To raise money, we need you guys. All money donated is going towards changing the reality for women and girls globally. So all you need to do is text UNWN15 followed by the amount you want to donate to 770. Now, Michaela Stark, you mentioned you were drinking beer. Tell me what you're doing over there. It's a good link. Good link. Seamless.
So basically, you know, I didn't go out last night, so
I'm not allowing it.
I'm drinking now. That's what I'm doing, and I'm on to second beer. I'm currently drinking BrewDog Pink IPA. Now, before I finish what this bottle says, do you remember the Bic pens when they came out for that ingenious pen for women?
Yep.
Yeah, the pen for women.
I remember the day now.
And it was
because I didn't know how I wrote anything beforehand.
Honestly, I have no idea how I got through my education without it.
Yes.
So it was excellent. And obviously lots of people came to Amazon with these reviews, which were absolutely hilarious. You know, the fact that there was a pen that had been created for women was just... anyway. So what BrewDog have done is they've called it Beer for Girls. And it's basically a piss take of that. I don't think everyone's necessarily noticed it, but I think it's excellent, because that Bic pen epidemic, I don't think I've ever laughed so much in my life reading those reviews. It's excellent.
It's, and you know what, with the pink beer IPA, it's done a fantastic job, because it's got everyone talking. And just to let you know that from 4 weeks from today, BrewDog will be donating 20%, now that is the gender pay gap in the UK, of its proceeds from bottled pink IPA and punk IPA to causes that fight against gender inequality. Pink IPA will also be sold in South Korea, Ireland, Germany, USA and the Netherlands. So it's a fantastic, it's a genius idea. Mm. Whoever is in that marketing team, you need to salute them. It's got everyone talking. And it's also got Michaela drinking.
Well, yeah, and also because it's got
time in the morning.
Because it's got a pink label, my tiny little lady insides can actually take it.
Yes, they can. So, they really, really can.
Yes.
Thank God for that. But it is brilliant. That's the BrewDog Pink IPA. And again, it is wonderful that we can get our guests drinking at like 5 a.m, 6 a.m, 7 a.m, almost 8 a.m. And Michaela Stark, she's enjoying it.
Is it possible to ask Abby for a list of places that are open to drink at 9 a.m?
That's very true.
Once I'm done, because I'm ready.
That's true. Once you're done, you're like, right, I want to go out. Oh no, can you imagine going to the tube?
Oh,
that'd be hilarious.
Oh,
do it. Let the neighbours talk.
Thank God
this
for
is,
Uber.
This would be, it would be fantastic. This is London Arts Week as well at the moment. I love it. Abby has just...
written there's a pub next door. Oh.
And we do love
we
the depot.
We do love the depot.
It is a brilliant, brilliant pub. And they actually gave us pizzas in the early hours. We had gorgeous pizzas. And I tell you, that was very, very needed. I do love the depot.
Oh, I arrived too late.
I will. Yeah, you did. But again, you can stay till the bitter end. And yes, remember, we have gone on a lot about how to donate, how to get involved. You can donate to London Arts Week. And it is all about talking about gender inequality and how men and women, they need to work together. Because, you know, I think some people do campaign to talk about, you know, how women are better than men or men are better than women. Michaela, is no one is better than the other, are they? We need each other to make the difference.
Absolutely. And I think a huge thing is... you know, it's not just about, you know, laying the blame on, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, not enough women in certain positions, certain powerful positions. Mm. And I think what we're seeing now is more women going for those positions. So you have to remember that it's not just the issue of, you know, current men who are very modern day men not allowing women into the positions, because quite often that's not the case. The case is it's how we're evolving, and it's the lessons we teach our young girls, as mother, father, teacher, whatever the influence may be, to grow up and strive to go for those positions and not feel limited. So that's the thing that I think we're really seeing changing, which is the generational change, in that we'll see more women going for those positions. So there's not going to be that whole argument of, you know, well, I have to fill the quota, so therefore, you know, we're getting women that aren't necessarily the best for the job, but
yes,
we have to fill the quota.
Which is doing more harm than good.
Yeah, but now what we're seeing is more, you know, there's more of an even power of women applying for these positions. So we are seeing more equality, and it does take time, but we're seeing it, and it's great, and that's why I'm so happy to be here and be part of this, because
I love that you're here
being part of the change.
Exactly the change, the conversation. Now we're gonna give you a little breather. We are going to be playing the Albert Hammond Jr. Clip, who talks all about International Women's Day with Harriet. They spoke a little bit earlier on, so enjoy. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, FUBAR Radio, I'm joined by Albert Hammond Jr. in the studio right now. Albert, how's it going?
It's great. We're in a studio. It's warm. It's pretty good.
We're working with the United Nations Women on a 24-hour live radio show. It's to change the reality for women and girls globally. We're starting a global conversation. We're trying to get everyone talking about. And I wanted to ask you, who in your life you feel like is a really inspirational woman, females that have really sort of made an impression on you in a positive way, whether it's in music or in your personal life?
I mean, I feel like in general, women make a positive impression on me. I grew up with my mom. I was always with her, and she was the strong one in the family. You know, I think people think, you know, men are strong, like, because of being physical or because they yell. And I find that that's, like, I grew up, that was, like, a weakness.
Yeah.
You know, we don't pay enough attention to that, because I feel like women bring life into this world, and it's, like, it's almost treated like it's nothing. But it's also, you're starting conversation. I think that just needs to happen more. I feel like, at least from my point of view, is it's so hard to have conversation, because if someone says something that's not right, they just get like yelled at, when it's like, where's the learning curve? You need to have conversation, not understand, get to know it a little more, get better at it, and change. You can't just like overnight change. And I feel like that's important, is to like have the conversation and allow people to make the mistakes. I feel like men should be allowed to realize that they could or have been wrong and stuff, and that will allow for a bigger change than just like just slamming it all down like right away, like it's like night or day. It just doesn't.
I totally 100% agree.
Am I controlled for saying that?
No, I think you're completely right. Like in any circumstance, you and I living as humans, we're learning all the time. You can offend someone without even knowing about something completely anything. It could be about how they've woken up that morning. In day to day, we should be thinking, okay, cool, thanks for letting me know. Now I'm going to move forward knowing that I've made a mistake.
That's also the point of conversation. It isn't to just say it perfectly and it be right.
It's
about not understanding and being wrong, and then understanding because someone speaks to you and you get it.
Yeah. You know? And we can't all be perfect. I mean, obviously I try.
Obviously. That's also on your Twitter bio.
Yeah.
Obviously I try to be perfect.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having a little chat with us. It's really been lovely to speak to you. We better get...
smells fantastic. You can't capture that on radio.
Oh my God. Thanks. Well, Albert Hammond Jr. thinks I smell nice.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything you're doing as well at the moment. I'm really excited to hear. I haven't heard the full album. I've only heard the two tracks that we've...
You haven't heard the full album?
No.
Oh man, wait till you hear the full album. It's so much more to hold on to.
Yeah, France's Trouble, the pre-order you can get right now. You can get two songs straight away. I've already digested them, but I'm very excited to look at the rest of the album.
You know, it reminds me of getting this awesome female director, and she has a female DP to make the video for my single. And it was just, she was like, oh, thank you for giving me a platform. And it was just like I didn't feel like it was anything. I was like, of course, what do you mean? You're awesome. But just to, you know, like, you don't realize that. And like,
sometimes you forget that that isn't something that's...
Because you don't believe it. So you don't think that it's something that exists. And that's a hard thing for me that I need to get better at. It's because I feel like, why wouldn't it be... things be normal.
But also in another perspective, it's nice that you picked her because she's great.
No, I only picked her. No, of course.
In that sense, that's a massive compliment for her too.
No, she's beyond, she blew everyone away.
Well, I'm excited to see the video.
Oh, me too.
Albert, thank you so much. We'll catch you later.
I mean, no one's gonna see us shake hands, but
we're touching right now in real life, skin to skin.
That was fun.
He sounds like absolutely fantastic. He really, really does. That was Albert Hammond Jr. Talking earlier on to Harriet, all to do with our inspirational women for Women's Day. He's a brilliant, brilliant guy. And I think on that note, we should play some Albert Hammond, Far Away Truths.
Yeah.
That was Albert Hammond.